There's a pasuk in the sixth parsha by Boel Paro, Kani Ichbariti Eslibo Vesliv Avadav, because I have hardened his heart and the heart of all of his servants. Now, there's a famous Ramban that speaks about this in Parshas Va'era, in Zion Gimel. Okay, he speaks about it a little bit. It's a very famous pasuk because it really goes into the real issues of what it means of achbadas lev. And we're going to speak about bechira, about our free will, in a little bit, but we're really going to stay off it, really, to concentrate on the achbadas levo part. The simplest idea is that because he made them work so hard, right? Because Paro made the Jews work in their avodah so much harder than what God expected them to do in the first place, God allowed for Moshe Rabbeinu to say no, that I'm not going to send you out of Mitzrayim, and thus get the punishment that he deserved to get. That is a simple, you do something, God will make sure you are punished. That's the idea. Rabbi Yochanan goes along and he says, the line that people say on this, oh, but what about free will? Rabbi Yochanan says, that's a taina for the minim, says Rabbi Yochanan. What a claim. The minim, the apostates, are going to get up and they're going to say, see, there is no free will. God will decide what to do with you, and that's that. To which Reish Lakish applies, that's not an issue whatsoever. So literally, the line that he uses, Reish Lakish, is shut their mouths. That type of lashon. Shut their mouths. Im leitzim hu yalitz. For the scoffers, God has to scoff back. You're given a few chances, two, three chances, says the Ramban. And if you're not chozer after those chances, says Reish Lakish, he closed the door on you, and he doesn't allow you to do tshuva. I just want to point out who said this. Reish Lakish. Why would Reish Lakish have made such a line? I think it's a simple reason. Reish Lakish had a chance. He saw Rabbi Yochanan. He saw Rabbi Yochanan bathing in the middle of the river. And he had a chance to do tshuva. And he could have said no. He got a chance. And he took that chance. Reish Lakish is the type of person to say, I was in your world. I've done things that were a little bit wrong. And I brought myself out of it when I was ready for it. And when I was ready for it, I was ready to do it. You're given a chance. And if you say no, if he would have said no, Reish Lakish would have said to Rabbi Yochanan, nah, I don't want to. And walked out of the river, who knows if he would have been given that chance again. Who knows if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have put him in the path to tshuva. But look at the path that he chose. He chose to be with Rabbi Yochanan, and he became a gadol b'Yisrael. Because he took the chance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed him to get. And that's what he's saying about Paro. Had he been given the chance, he was given the chance, I should say, and when he said no, that's it. It's too late. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you did evil. I'm going to make you pay for that, and I'm going to add tuma onto your tuma. This medrash does not really explain the reasons why God does this. He's just saying what God does. He allows you to get that chance, and you can choose yes or you can choose no, but it's one of the two. It's one of those two, and you can choose it. But why? Why did God do it this way? The Ramban has two different answers. Both of them are yesodos, absolute foundations to Yiddishkeit, literally to Yiddishkeit and to everything. Number one, he says, Paro berishu asher osu Yisrael rose gedolos chinam. He had done evil things for no reason whatsoever. In fact, against the akaras atov that he should have owed them for what Yosef Atzadik did. Nischayev limnoa mimenu darchei tshuva. He's chayev, we should say from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to refrain from him, to hold back from him any way for him to do tshuva. That was his chiv. That was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chiv. Kasher bob is apsukim rabbi v'torah b'ksumim with the ma'aseh rishonim nidon. Our first answer is he was chayiv to lose his bechira. Chayiv to have this punishment happen to him and to not allow himself to get out of it. And he needed to get these makos. Could all the makos have happened at once? Of course they could have happened at once. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to space them out to make it maybe even worse for the Egyptians. I don't know reasons as to why they had to be spaced out. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Paro get punished because he had done things that were wrong, and this was his punishment. To get the punishments again and again and again, and he had no way out of it. He could not have said yes. He could not have said, get out of here. Couldn't have done it. That's number one. Number two. Says the Ramban, Kayu chitze amakos alav b'fisho, ki lo nemar ben rak vayechazak leiv paro, vayichbad paro es libo. Hine lo ratzel ha-shalchon l'chavad Hashem. In the first half of the makos, the chatzi of the makos, first half of them, it only says that Paro hardened his own heart. that Paro would not let them go. He didn't want to send them, l'kavod Hashem. If he would have sent them away after those first five makos, kasher gavru ha-makos, love after the makos, became very strong against him, then Nilo loose bowls him, and he was too weary to be able to withstand them and hold them and take them anymore, he would have decided to send them away not for the right reason, but for the wrong reason, because he wanted to get rid of the makos. Lo lasos ratzon baro, not because he wanted to do ratzon Hashem, he wanted to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to do. Az hiksha Hashem es ruchov v'imitz l'vavu l'man tzafer shno. At that point, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardened his spirit, said, no, you're not going to do that. I'm only going to let you let them go for my honor. And if you're going to do it just because you want the makos to be weakened on you, you don't want the makos anymore, then I'm not going to let happen. Kinnishakasuv, the pasuk says, Vizgadalti, Vizgadashti, Vinodati, Leina Goyim Rabbah, that I have become great, I have become known, I have become holy in the eyes of the other nations of the world. Hashem couldn't allow Paro to release them for the wrong reasons, and therefore he continued to let it be this way. Eksha Libo says, the Ramban, Laman Revos Mofsai, the Earth and Shine, in order for me to propagate more Mofsim, more wonders, and more miracles to happen inside this world. What's the difference between the two? There are enough Mefarshim that try to explain. In my words, I would tell you, the differences are twice. There's two issues over here. Number one, could he have changed his mind in the first five Makos? According to the first answer, no, he could not have changed his mind. It was made up from the beginning. And when it says, Paro hardened his heart, it means God made Paro harden his heart. That's the first answer. Second answer says, sure, he could have changed. First five Makos, he had the chance. When he didn't choose that, then it was done. Number two, the purpose of the Makos. The purpose of the Makos, according to the first reasoning, is this was an entire punishment based on your sins. You sinned, you deserve to have a hardened heart. Number two, because you decided not to send them out for the right reasons, therefore I'm not going to let you decide to send them out for the wrong reasons. There's differences. Nafkaminas, I don't know if there's a Nafkamina. This is more in Hashkapik, why a Kadosh Baruch Hu does what he does. These are two absolutely massive reasons and things that happen. But if you look carefully at the Sforno, people say the Sforno is one of the two answers of the Ramban. I think the Sforno is a completely third different answer. And I heard this originally from a Mashkiach years and years and years ago. The Sforno is a different answer. You should always know, by the way, the Ramban has some great Yesodos. The Sforno has a one-liner that kills everyone. That if you expand on a Sforno, you can give everything based on the Sforno. That's what he does. He's unbelievable in that way. Says the Sforno, he could always have done tshuva. Even at Makkah number 9, even at Makkah number 10, by Makkah's Bechoros, Paro always, always had the chance to do tshuva. Those darkei tshuva, as the Ramban says, that was taken away from him, was always available for him to be able to do tshuva. Here's the difference. He could have, but he wouldn't have. Now, why would he not have? He brought himself to a level where doing so just won't happen. It just won't. It just doesn't happen that way. There's no siyata d'shmaya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't behind you. And there's a point where you get to where it's just, it's not going to be anymore. It's never going to happen anymore. Similar to Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha ben Avuya, we all know, is the Tana that was together with Rabbi Akiva, ben Azai, ben Zoma, that went up to parties, this level of learning that's so tremendous, and Elisha ben Avuya came and became an apikoros. Elisha ben Avuya says the Gemara, Shuvu banim shuvim, everybody can do tshuva. Chutz me'achar, and Achar understood, Elisha ben Avuya understood, I don't have a chance to do tshuva. So he went off. What does that mean? Justice Forno, he always had a chance to do tshuva. He still could have done it. It just would have been difficult. You would have had to push yourself instead of a Kadosh Baruch Hu pushing you from the back. Because there's a level that you can get to where you're no longer given the open door. You're no longer allowed. You don't have this situation where Rabbi Yochanan is the guy that you jumped in the river in order to grab. And Rabbi Yochanan says to you, I'll give you my sister if you become from. You don't always get that chance. You don't always get that chance. Sometimes you will, and sometimes the door is closed, and the only way to get through is to break through that door. And Elisha ben Avuya was not willing to break through that door. And Paro was not willing to break through that door. What it would mean is, the first five makos, he had a chance to do tshuva because it was easier. There was Siyata Deshmaya backing him up, saying, don't worry, if you do it, I'll help you. Opening the door for him, giving him a chance. The last five makos, he could not. He could not. He said no for the silliest reasons. He just couldn't. What? You want to take your animals? I can't let that happen. There's no way. Oh, you want to take your children? I can't let that happen. for the silliest things. You know that makos are happening. You believe that there's a God that's taking care of the Jews. And yet you're not letting them go because they're taking their kids out. That's the reason why. That's where the silliness comes in. And that's what it means by you don't have that siyata d'shmaya anymore. If you step off of your high horse, of your throne, and you sit there and you look at yourself and you say, should I do tshuva or not? Just admit that I'm a God. Then it'll work. It'll be good. At least Shem Rebuya can do tshuva. And anyone, Paro, has the ability to do tshuva. But once you harden your heart, it's too late. Once you harden your heart, and that Kadosh Baruch Hu allows within the world for that to happen, it's just not there. According to Sforno, even by Arba, he still had a chance. And that's why he was warned about it. Why warn him about Arba if he couldn't do anything about it? Isn't that mean? Paro, you have one last chance. Arba, I'm going to warn you, it's going to happen. So do you want to do tshuva or not? And he can't say yeah. He can't say get out of here. He has no ability to do it. That's so mean. So, Enechanami, according to Ramban's first answer, was mean. That was his punishment. That was what was supposed to happen. According to Sforno, he had a chance. He had a chance. It was a very small chance. Very hard for him to grab. But he could have done it. And that's exactly what happened when he was the king of Nineveh. That's what it means that Paro became the king of Nineveh. And when Yonah came along, he stepped down off his throne. He put sackcloth on himself. He put ashes on his head. And he stopped eating. And he told the people, follow me. Because I've been through this before. I couldn't make the decision before. I'm making the decision now. That's what it means to accept the words of the Navi and he put there. Bechira is all about trying to lose your Bechira. That's what it's all about. If you use it correctly, you will no longer have Bechira. For example, on Shabbos, no one here, I hope, has the choice of turning on or off a light switch. It's just not possible. You walk into a room, even if you really want the light switch on, that's not a choice. That's not a Bechira. I don't walk in the room past the light switch and say, I really want to turn that on. None of us really have a Bechira in eating at McDonald's. The social pressures, the societal pressures that you have, you will refuse to eat at McDonald's. Not even a choice. It's not given to you. You no longer have it. It may never have been there. The point of Bechira is to grow above your Bechira and no longer have that be as a choice. Do you get schar for walking past the light switch and not turning it on? Probably not. Do you get schar for walking past McDonald's and not ordering a double cheeseburger with fries, the really good McDonald's french fries for $1? $1. Can you imagine that? I don't think any of us have that type of. Maybe there is. Maybe someone here has that type and I hear that. But most of us are past that. Most of us just don't have that. It's not there. The point of our Bechira is to lose it. You might not get schar for that individual, but you get schar because you're on a higher level. You're no longer on that low level where every time you walk past the McDonald's, you think, what are they serving today? That's not what you think anymore. That's a very, very high level. That's unbelievable. That level right there is what we want to be. It goes the other way as well. This is the level of good things. You don't really have a Bechira to not, hopefully, you don't have the Bechira to not put on tefillin in the morning. You don't have the Bechira to not learn during the day. You don't have a Bechira to break Shabbos, eat not kosher food, anything like that. That's not there, but let's speak the other way, okay? Some people have no Bechira, and they're automatically mean and spiteful, no matter what. They automatically do things that would label you as a terrible person. They just don't have a choice. They put themselves on the path to destruction, and they allow themselves to just be that way. It's very hard to change your mitos if you've lived your whole life one way. And if you have your whole life living it, I don't know, let's just put it honestly. If you spend your whole life and you're getting up at 10 a.m. every morning, 10 a.m., 10 a.m., 10 a.m., 10 a.m., it's very difficult to one morning get up at 9. Very difficult. If you're going to sleep at 1 o'clock or 1:30 every night, it's very difficult to one night go to sleep at 7, 8, 9, 10. It just doesn't happen. You get yourself used to certain things, and unfortunately it just becomes that way. You lead yourself on that path where you no longer have the Bechira to do the right thing. And you just can't get yourself out of it. You can't get yourself out of it. How many people here have made mistakes when it comes to brachos? in not making a bracha, not saying it properly, forgetting to make a bracha achrona, even when you're with other people at the table that are benching, you might still forget. Let alone when you're by yourself, when nobody else is around. Because your bechira is, you lead yourself to a position where either it's going to be automatic that you're going to make the bracha, or it's automatic that you're going to forget the bracha. You're on a certain level, and either it's too low or it's too high, it's one of the two. You don't have much of a choice. That's where bechira comes into play. You have to build yourself up to the point where it does become a real choice. And it's no longer just automatic, terrible things that you're left with. Should be the other way. I hate to put it that way. To extricate yourself from such a situation is not easy. It's not easy. To give yourself the proper midos and how to react or act toward a situation, how to be that type of person, that's not easy. I mean, that's what life is all about. Trying to work on yourself and becoming a better person, but becoming a better person doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do. These are very, very, very difficult things to do. And your Bechira is there to be able to help you along with it. To help you along and make the right choices. And unfortunately, Bechira is also there for the stuff to utilize for his own measures. For you to make the wrong decision. Build yourself up to where it's no longer a choice. And then you got nothing. You don't have to worry about anything whatsoever. That's our job. Our job is to recognize where we are. It's number one. What we're good and not good at, number two, and number three, fighting it slowly. And to put those in different terms, let's go like this. Number one, what's the problem? What am I really finding as an issue? What's something which I cannot, I have this in my system and I can't get myself out of it. What is it? What do I have wrong with me that I know I need to change? Is it the fact that I talk too much? Is it that I don't talk enough? Is it that I say certain things at the wrong times? Is it that I don't say the right things at the right time? What do I need to work on when it comes to that? Is my learning going well? Is there something in my davening that I can improve upon? Is there something that I could do regarding my benching, my brachos? Is there something I could do regarding my bein adam l'chaveru that I can look at and I can say to myself, here's something that I could really work on? Is there something there that a person can say, number one, am I good at this or am I bad at this? Is there something that I have specifically, what is that problem? Name the problem. Say it. Say it in front of yourself. And once it's there in front of you, next, you have to strategize. How do I deal with this problem? Is this a good problem or a bad problem? Is it something that I'm going to have to spend a lot of time with, or is it something that I have to spend only a little bit of time with? What should I do about it? How should I go about it? What's my plan to get rid of this? And the last is do it. Whatever your plan is, start it today. Start it as soon as you can. Because if you push it off and you protect, you just say, you know what? I'm gonna wait until it comes up later, and then I'll deal with it later on. It's never gonna work. Think of something that you can do to be able to strategize away, and then start it immediately. Whether or not it's really pshayach yet, start it as soon as you can. I've always felt that although most yeshivas don't have a break in the middle of this month, especially in the winter's month, it can be healthy if used correctly. You still have to learn. You still have to daven. And I'm sorry about both of those things. There's nothing I can do about that. It's all from him. Okay? There's nothing. And that's not Rabbi Eisenberg. This is God. It's reference to God. There's no choice about stuff like that. You have to learn. You have to daven. But there are ways that you can utilize your Bein HaZmanim to be something which is positive for everyone. You could work, obviously, make a little bit of money. You could relax. That obviously is going to be good for your body and good for your mental health. There's no question about that. But to sit there and to realize self-examination time and say to yourself, what is there for me to work on? What is there for me to get used to when I'm out of yeshiva and when I'm not going to have that push in the back from either the mashgiach or my rebbe or from my friends? What's going to be then? What's it going to be like when I go out to a restaurant? Am I going to remember to bench every time? Or am I just going to get up, get into my car, and then be like, oh, got to drive again. But what's it going to be like? Is it going to be like that or not? Are you going to be willing to return? It's not like you have much to do. So you leave the restaurant, you go around, and you're just like, oh man, I was supposed to take a nap now. Oh, I can't go back and bench. Is that what it's going to be like? Because it's going to be like this now. You can imagine it's going to be worse later on. Because as life goes on, it only gets harder. And if you brought yourself to that point and you had a choice, you could go back and bench, or you could just bench in your car and sort of forget all the words and deal with the, I don't know, end it, harakamon, because you don't really upset harakamons anyway, right? So you just end right there and be like, yeah, it's a shortened version, it's fine, I'm busy, I gotta go to nothing. That's the choice. If you choose wisely, if you turn yourself back, you've made a positive change that will change the rest of your life. And if you don't, then unfortunately, you haven't changed. You're just going to keep going in that path of where you're going to forget, you're going to remember later on, and the question is it 72 minutes or not? Which one is it? And then you're going to have to do timing-wise, and you're going to be great at math, and you're going to be like, yeah, well, this shows manios, you'll figure something out. You just, you got to work. You got to work. Again, the three. Know what the problem is. Strategize and how to get rid of this problem. And then just do it. If you have those three things to be able to work on and you have a week and a half to do this, I know there's college work to be done, but aside from the college work that you shouldn't have anyway, but if you take that away, you have a week and a half that's wide open to do whatever you need to do. To come back and to be in a mental state that's clean, you're already okay. To be in a physical state that you're well rested, there shouldn't be that guy who comes in the next day, I'm exhausted. There's no such thing as exhaustion after a vacation like this from yeshiva, unless you have kids. It's not going to happen. So I'm allowed to say I'm exhausted. You're not. Okay, that's the official rule. That's number two, unless you have kids, but then you should have told me that beforehand. And number three, right, is that at least you know what you have to work on and to have specific things to work on and to deal with. If you do this correctly, it's the greatest idea that a yeshiva has ever made up. To have a week and a half in the middle to get everybody's batteries recharged and bring everybody back, it can be unbelievable. And if done incorrectly, it could be the worst thing in the world. Because you come back and you're not motivated anymore to learn. You sit there and you just say, like, well, I didn't want to do anything anyway. Yeah, I just had a week and a half off and I love doing nothing. I just want to continue doing nothing. That's not a choice. And that's not life. That's the wrong bechira. That's a bechira of a very, very low level. Hopefully, this doesn't get you to the level of where you're turning on lights and Shabbos and eat McDonald's. But that's where the level is. Of, I don't want to learn anymore. I don't want to do anything anymore. There's no reason for me to get up for a 7:30 chakras. I'm used to a 9 o'clock minion. Your life is not going to be about the 9 o'clock minion unless you do the night shift. And if you're doing the night shift, good luck in life. Because that's going to be very, very difficult unless you're a pharmacist. Then you'll have a good night shift. Or a doctor. Good night shift. Other than that, I don't mean to say it this way, but if you're going to be one of those guards, I mean, you're in the wrong college. That's not the best. Work on it. Do something now. You've got so much time. So much time. And it starts tomorrow night. Tomorrow night. Are you going to go to Mariv? Are you going to learn night Seder, even if it's not here? Are you going to have a night Seder? What are you going to do? What are you going to have tomorrow night? Or it's just like party time. And you spend all night making up, I don't know, like a Lord of the Rings marathon all night long. Well, what are you going to do? Use your time wisely. Wake up and make sure you're in the right position to succeed and not to fail. We'll stop with that, guys. Have a great day.